Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this morning of worship as we come together as a community of faith and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would direct our thoughts, that you would help us to see more of you and fall more deeply in love with you. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you're listening online, there are some sermon notes, a PDF file with the sermon notes and devotions. You have those in your bulletin. If you'd like to take them out and fill in the blank, you can do that. If that helps you to remain clear on what's going on, or if you hear from God, there's enough room to write in on your sheet what God is speaking to you about, and that's important to do. Also, the devotions are on the other side, and take those home and read those each day of the week. The question I asked for this morning, what's black and white and red all over? The answer is the newspaper. Black and white and red, all over. I guess we could go with the Bible, any type of print. But I want to have start off with another different question, and it's this. And it's in your notes. Do you believe what you do in the next 20 minutes, will make a difference in your life? Do you believe what you do in the next 20 minutes will make a difference in your life? Will it make a difference in your life today, tomorrow, or the next week, the next year? The moment you could form a word made a difference in your life, didn't it? It made a difference in your life in that moment, in the next weeks, in the next years. How about that moment when you could first read? It made a difference. When you first drove, when you got your first adult job, when you first knew of God's great love, do you believe what you do in the next 20 minutes will make a difference in your life? In another question, very much the same, do you believe what you do in the next 19 minutes will make a difference in someone else's life? What you do will make a difference in someone else's life, a difference that may happen today, that may happen tomorrow, they may happen this week, next month, next year. Do you believe that what you do can make a difference in somebody else's life? And for some of you, you're probably saying, absolutely. Yes, absolutely, no. And some are just not sure. I don't know if what happens in the next 18 minutes will make a difference in anything. This is what some of the Jewish Christians were facing. And they received this letter called Hebrews, and they're asking the question, will staying with Jesus make a difference in your life today or tomorrow? And the writer of the letter called Hebrews asks his readers to simply remember to go back to that first time. He says it this way, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. That light is Jesus. Those were great. Those were important days. Well, how about for you? For some, you don't remember a time when you didn't know Jesus. You've just always been growing in your faith. And for others, you've known about Jesus or believed in Jesus, but you really didn't know or sought or seek after Jesus to know him personally, but it did happen, like my life in my 20s. Others still, you didn't consider Jesus until later adulthood. But do you remember those early days? After you had received the light. To his Hebrew friends, the writer is about to tell them that what they do, whether they stay with Jesus or not, will make a difference in their today, will make a difference in their tomorrow, will make a difference in their forever. And he goes on to say about those earlier days, there were many difficulties, there were conflicts, and even sufferings you had to endure because you believed in Jesus. And in those earlier days, because they knew Jesus, they wouldn't go back to Judaism. But today is a different day. And the writer is concerned that some may be considered going back to Judaism because of the conflict, the difficulties, and the sufferings that they're experiencing due to their faith in Jesus. And friends, the longer I live, although I might have a peace that comes from above, there are more conflicts. There are more difficulties in staying with Jesus. So the writer goes on to say, don't throw away your confidence in Jesus, your faith in the one who saves, as you will be richly rewarded. Oh, I love Christmas. It's a time of presents and gifts. And that's what the writer is saying. Wait till Christmas, but this Christmas is different, isn't it? This present will be eternity. Don't make a change right now because it will have an effect on your tomorrow. Do you believe that what you do in the next 15 minutes will make a difference in your life today, tomorrow, maybe in someone else's life? Do you believe? The writer goes on to say this, read it with me. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and not delay. He's reminding them to persevere because then you will receive a promise. He is coming. He will not delay. I sometimes think of children in the car when they're traveling. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Say it with me. Are we there yet? But not quite 2,000 years later, we Christians are still asking, are we there yet? And we ask because we want to be there. To see Jesus, to be with Jesus. And like the Jewish Christians then, we now need to keep that expectancy kindled in our souls, in our hearts and in our minds. Because one day, if we remain in Jesus, we will be there. Friends, I hate to not be there because I drifted off with my faith in Jesus. And we need to remember, and I note that what I have in Jesus now far and away is better than anything the world offers. We do have each other. We have God's Word. And we have a task to commit to, both in our lives and for maybe others whom we know, that have eternal consequences. And we know that our task is to remain in Jesus. Our task is to remain in Jesus and to help others know Jesus as well. That's our task as an individual. That's our task as a church. What you do in the next 10 minutes, will it make a difference in your life or in the life of someone else? For there's a reward that hangs if you do. Of course, the perseverance the writer is speaking of is holding on to our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And the writer goes on to say this, read it with me. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. We do not shrink back. We don't shrink back, for we will be destroyed. I don't know about you, but that seems like pretty strong language to me. Especially in today's world where everyone receives a medal for participating. Of course, participating has that connotation of simply showing up, of just being there. But that's not God's way. You cannot will yourself into heaven because you are simply good. You must have what? Faith. And so we know it in God's way, you're either in or you're not. That sounds so strong, doesn't it? You're either in or you're not. You either shrink back or you stand tall. Or you stand tall. And in standing tall, in this case, is having faith in Jesus, which leads to salvation. And not just a faith, but a vibrant and active faith. It must be vibrant and active. Now, I can just hear you. Sure, Pastor, I already have faith. I'm not really shrinking back, but really standing tall? Faith. What really is faith at its core? The writer goes on to say of those who have faith and are saved, that they have an active faith. Read it with me. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I will come back to you, Jesus says, and take you to be with me where I am. Do you have that hope? Are you assured of what you cannot even see? It's critical that you do have that hope. A hope that leads to an assurance that will carry you through and helps you to persevere through those difficult moments. Because we all know that difficult times will come. Now, I'm so glad that the author goes on to say that this is what the ancients were commended for. Having confidence in their faith in God. Being assured of what they could not see. And that is trusting God at His Word. The ancients, he refers to, are people who had this kind of faith in God that were truly life-changing. Is Jesus still changing your life? These were people God used and moved through to help other people to know God. I mean, you got to read it. Get these legacies. It says of Enoch, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not, get this, experience death. Wow. Wow. Read the rest with me. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For he was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch was commended as one who did what? Pleased God. Do you think you could live such a life modeled after Jesus that would endure through difficulties, endure through conflicts, endure through even suffering so that you would not taste death? Do you think you could please God that much? I don't. There have only been two people that had that kind of faith, that kind of assurance. And only two ancients didn't experience death. Even Christ, when he came down, okay, Christ is the exception, did die, but that was only for us, that we might be saved. But only two ancients died for their commendable faith. He goes on to say of faith, without faith, we note, without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who, get this, earnestly seek Him. Earnestly seek Him. That's a kind of faith with hope. That's a kind of faith with assurance in the things that they cannot see. You must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You must seek a relationship through faith. And then the rewards come. But really, I mean, really, what kind of temptations did they have back then in those days? Really? Temptations? That would cause them to either wane or drift away from their belief in God. Really the same as we face today. Envy, jealousy, anger, lust, pride, greed. All of these things in part or in whole can cause us to take our eyes off the sun. And all of a sudden it's been days, weeks, even years since you really spent time with Jesus, taking communion, really acting on your faith, reaching out to somebody who needs Jesus. Do you believe that what you do in the next 5 minutes will make a difference in your life or in the life of another person? Do you believe? Faith really is about running a race. George Guthrie reminds me of the 8th Olympiad of the modern times, which began on July 5th, 1924, and was held in Paris, France. Over 45 countries were represented, 60,000 spectators were cheering him on. One of those competitors was Eric Little, a Scot, who was a sprinter and ran for Great Britain, and he could run. In fact, he was the current record holder for the British 100-yard dash. There was great hope in Britain for Eric Little. However, he came under some controversy. You see, Little was a Christian, born to missionary parents, and he held to the belief that no one, absolutely no one, should work on the Sabbath day, as it was a day of rest. This wasn't something that just popped up at the last minute after they got into Paris. He was quite clear with the British leadership months before when they found out that the preliminary race was on a Sunday. And as a result, he came under criticism for his fanatical views. But instead of folding, he held on to his beliefs. Instead, he had no problem not running. Everyone else around him was like, "What? You're the world record holder, or British record holder. You're our hope." You see, he experienced conflict, difficulties, and suffered as a result of Jesus. And when he refused to run the 100 meters, his teammate, Harold Abrams, ended up winning the final, setting a world record, a record that would stand for, get this, 56 years. And it's this question, could that have been Eric Little? On the following Tuesday, both Little and Abrahams qualified for the 200-meter race, running in the finals the next day. Get this, Britain had never won a medal in the 200 meters. It was twice his normal training distance. Yet Little would run and become the first Scot and Brit to win a medal. It was a bronze in the 200 meter. Abrahams finished last. And then he went on to qualify and compete in the 400 meter dash, four times the distance that he trained for. At the outset, get this, he took the lead by 3 meters, but if anyone has run a 400 meters, man, it's about speed, but it's also about endurance. And sometimes if you go out too fast, you burn up in the end. Into the race, the Americans began to close in. And Little increased his speed. And he won by a whopping 5 meters. 5 meters. The British crowd erupted with the wind. And then they held their breath as they waited for the time. And then they exploded into cheers as it was announced that he had set a new world record of 47.6 seconds. And we note that Eric Little was an example, though. An example of a young believer who did not fold to pressures of others to change from his beliefs. He threw off the opinions of others, both other runners and powerful people in Britain, to give up the possibility of being named the world's fastest human, which the 100-meter winner is always named. A race he had trained for years and instead chose to glorify God with his life. He eventually went on to be a missionary, as his parents were, in China, where he would die in a Chinese prison at the age of 43 for the sake of Jesus Christ. Much like the Apostle Paul, who shared Jesus around the world and then was imprisoned in his final days. But get this, his life was set on the solid rock of Christ. He would rather give up personal glory to ensure God was glorified. Do you believe that what you do in the next 2 minutes will make a difference in your life? His faith persevered in his spiritual race like the ancients. He set his eyes on the one who created him, who saved him and who set him free from sin and death, knowing that one day he would receive his rewards. And you know what? What little did in each of his few moments made a difference not only in his life, but in the lives of countless others through the years, even for us today. Do you believe that what you do in the next minute will make a difference in your life? What he did then and the ancients did even further back in time, and I encourage you to read what they did in the chapter 11 of Hebrews, was that they stood firm in their faith despite the barriers they faced. Some, it says, did not even see the full results of their faith. But what they did do in their time made a difference years later. Their lives impacted the Jewish Christians this book was written to, as well as countless millions after them, down to you and me today. And as you read more in your devotions this week, do you believe that what you do in the next 30 seconds will make a difference in your life right now and possibly the lives of others? I do. I do believe that God is and will continue to strengthen your faith regardless of the conflicts and difficulties you might encounter. Remain firm. Make that commitment now. Remain firm. Say it with me. I remain firm. I remain firm on the solid rock of Christ. On the solid rock of Christ. For your sake. For the sake of others, and for God's sake. Let us pray. Almighty God, we, your people, stand on your word and ask that as we continue to live our lives, that you would help us to make a difference, not only in our lives, but the lives of those we may not even know. And we ask that as we continue to live our lives, when we face difficulties or conflicts or suffering, Lord, that we would just smile and say, I'm still trusting in you, Jesus, to give me the strength to see it through, to help me to believe where maybe I can't even see, that you are with me, that you will show me the way. And God, I pray that you would lead us all to always remain firm in you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.